Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Today is Thursday, the 19th of December, 2019. I'm Francesca Morgan and I'll be filling in for Justin, who will be returning on Monday. To kickstart the podcast, I'll be speaking with Neil Ricketts, Chief Executive of Vesarion, ticker VRS. He'll be discussing yesterday's news regarding the company's involvement in a project led by Airbus. This forms part of the European Commission-funded Graphene flagship project. Secondly, I'll be speaking with Sachin Oza, Co-Chief Executive of Rheobold Resources, ticker RBD. Sachin will be offering an update of the group's West Newton license, and he'll also be touching on recent operations at West Brentwood site in California. And lastly, I'll be speaking with Andrew Lawley, who's the chairman of Two Shields Investments, ticker TSI, after this week showcased significant developments for the group's investee companies, WeShop and BrandShield. So he'll be touching on both these two developments.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Joining me today is Neil Ricketts, Chief Executive Officer of Vesarion, ticker VRS. Thank you for coming on the podcast, Neil. Good morning.
No problem. Good morning.
Now, many investors listening will be unfamiliar with Vesarion. So to start off, maybe you can give our audience some insight into the company and underscore kind of a few of the main prospects that may be of interest to those listening.
Sure. So we're a advanced materials company. We take IP out of universities and then we exploit that by commercializing it in the real world. We started in 2011 and we've got ourselves up to the stage we are now by working closely with the UK government, foreign governments and all of those government agencies, but also our relationships with the University of Manchester, the University of Cambridge, Liverpool and so on. Really exciting times for us, because we're involved in the exploitation of graphene, which is kind of coming of age at the moment.
That's great. Now, you had some news out yesterday. Can you take us through what happened?
Yeah, sure. So this is a really big deal for the company. This is, as I say, kind of the company growing up, dealing with much larger organizations. Those organizations, you know, may have been fairly skeptical about the future of graphene up until this stage, but as the business develops and as the industry develops, then more and more people are becoming excited by the prospects of using graphene in their own products. This particular one is a relationship with what's called the Graphene Flagship, which is a billion euro fund really set up by the EU, and in order to really accelerate the development of graphene, which is obviously isolated here in the UK. And what they've done is they've pump primed a number of really critical projects, in this case seven projects, of which this one is one of them.
That's great. And what are the exact benefits of investing or playing a part in this graphene flagship project?
So this is a funded research project for the use of graphene in aerospace. It's predominantly around actually fitting flexible electronic circuits into composite structures in order to provide an element of de-icing. Anybody who's been to the airport will have been inconvenienced by people having to de-ice the plane using these nasty chemicals on the runway and affecting the efficiency of flying. Well, the idea is that these electric circuits actually provide the replacement for those nasty chemicals. So not only is it better for the environment, which is a big consideration for our company, but also improving the efficiency of that industry.
Of course. So it's about improving the existing technology, as I understand it.
Yeah, some of this technology is brand new and the IP will be shared between the partners. The other thing is that this is dealing with, you know, arguably the biggest aerospace company providing commercial aircraft. And for us, you know, we see this being the start of a very long and fruitful relationship. We've been working closely with Airbus for a number of years now, and this is the culmination of all of that work, where the team's been really, really hard trying to find the right applications for Airbus. And obviously, in this particular case, funded by the Graphene flagship, which means that it's great for our shareholders because it takes the burden away from developing this technology from the company.
Yeah, of course. And I guess it's a particularly interesting time to be partnering with Airbus, as they have a kind of ramping up demand as Boeing is sort of grounding with production at the moment.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for Airbus at the moment. We're very lucky to have Ian Gray as one of our non-exec directors, who was the MD of Airbus UK, extremely well known within the aircraft industry. And, you know, my feeling is that if we demonstrate this to Airbus, then there'll be a lot of people knocking on our door wanting this type of technology. And for me, it's all about the validation of the business model. It's all about proving that these are real life applications in big industries like aero, auto, and energy.
So does Vesarion have any further plans to kind of imprint further into the aerospace sector?
Yes, I spoke a couple of weeks ago at the Aerospace Technology Institute annual conference, and whilst I was there, we had the opportunity to talk to a lot of the what they call the prime manufacturers, those people that are in the, you know, very first stages of the supply chain, and there was a noticeable improvement in wanting to get this technology into the aerospace industry. So we'll be working quite closely with the what's called the ATI, the Aerospace Technology Institute. That's a £5.2 million UK funded Quango in order to promote and improve the aircraft industry in the UK. And they'll be key partners as we move forward. So looking forward to having some very colourful meetings in the first part of January next year.
That's great. And I see that Airbus's senior scientist had detailed in the statement that the kind of benefits of using graphene, as you said, it's very environmentally friendly, which is kind of the direction that most sectors are hoping to go for. So it seems like a really exciting industry to be joining. So looking ahead for 2020, what exactly can we expect from Vesarion coming into the new year?
So this is a new year, it's a new decade, and you know, what we're seeing is that graphene is now proving itself in a number of these applications. So for us, it's all about working with our customers and getting through those commercial agreements to actually see products actually coming out through the door, building our capacity. And the management team is really, really focused on these five great opportunities that we've got. And that's what we'll be doing. We'll be making sure that graphene starts to move towards my aspiration of being, you know, a world leading technology, and that Vesarion is the world leader in that particular sector.
That's great. That sounds really exciting. Just for some final thoughts for investors and shareholders, if you could give our audience members three reasons to add Vesarion to their Vox Markets watch list, that'd be great.
So the first reason is our connections and contacts with UK government, the University of Manchester, University of Liverpool, which are the two centres for graphene research in the UK. The second reason is that we have a fantastic team that's pushing ahead with these five great opportunities that are nearing the end of their kind of development and commercialisation journey. And the last one is that I'm the largest shareholder, so you can guarantee that all my aims and ambitions for the business are all aligned with those of the long-term holders.
That's great. Thank you for your time, Neil, and thanks for coming on the podcast this morning.
Thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Joining me today is Sachin Oza, Co-Chief Executive of Rheobald Resources, ticker RBD. Thank you for coming on the podcast, Sachin.
Thank you very much for having me.
So perhaps you could start off by just giving our audience a little insight into Rheobald to those who might be unfamiliar with the company.
Yeah, so Rheobald's strategy is in upstream oil and gas projects. Typically, at the point we make the investment, it's in the pre-cash flow stage. But we would typify these low-risk subset opportunities. The capital we provide to those projects leads to near-term drilling and what we believe is a quick cycle time to monetization on success. Since Rehobold's been going, which is a little over 2 years now, Rehobold has helped fund the drilling of what will be 9 wells, as we've got 1 well actively drilling in our portfolio currently, of which we've had 7 successes, and hopefully this next one will also be successful. And we have 4 that are on production. And all of that, I suppose, just highlights the strategy that we'd stated at the outset and the actual delivery and execution of that in a relatively short time frame. We continue to see opportunities that exist in that space, and we believe it exposes our shareholders to the most significant uplift in value in that part of the overall upstream oil and gas value chain.
That's great. So yesterday you had news out concerning the West Newton appraisal well. If you could take us through that, that'd be great.
So it was really an update on the planned extended well test, and it was just highlighting some of the key aspects. And as a reminder, when this well was being tested and suspended back in August of 2019, August of this year, it was because there was a substantial amount of oil or liquids that was seen in the well. And in order to really focus the test on the liquids as opposed to the gas, we suspended the program and redesigned it to focus on those liquids. Bearing in mind, by the way, we did flow gas to surface from that, or got gas to surface from that original original well test. So the objective now, though, is to focus on oil primarily because it is higher value to the joint venture partners and Rehobold as well. And by focusing on the oil, it will then inform the ability for the upcoming 2-well program that we have later this year in order to optimize production from the oil zone in the overall reservoir unit. So that's a bit of a summary of what the strategy is behind this extended well test. So what we're currently waiting for in the near term is the appropriate regulatory approvals, but all of the key equipment to really focus on that oil test has been purchased and is ready to go. And as soon as the regulatory approvals are forthcoming, the equipment will be mobilized to site and we will recommence the extended well test.
That's great. And as I understand it, the cost of work is within the original well test budget, right?
That is correct. So this is not incremental in any way to that original plan. And as you pointed out, you know, it just means that we can carry on as per the original budget, but just with a slightly different test program for the extended well test.
That's great. And the statement also detailed planning permissions in place for 2 additional wells. Could you touch on this a little bit?
So just in terms of the overall field that is West Newton, it's worthwhile reminding the listeners that this is one of the biggest onshore discoveries made in the UK. So it's a very sizable field. There was a thick section of pay, which is overall this approximately 65 meters that's also referenced in the announcement. And what the objective here is to find the sweet spot in the reservoir unit for this Kirkham Abbey formation that will optimize the production rates from what will be ultimately deviated wells that will be the producers on this field. So the objective here is to use the information we get from this extended well test, information from the first well in the upcoming program called West Newton B1, to help inform how to optimize the drilling of B2 to be a producer. Now, it's worthwhile saying, though, that the B1 well will also be testing a deeper KB target, which will be what we believe will be optimized in terms of the location for reservoir development. So the KB formation has been tagged in previous wells. It just was not optimized. It was not an optimal place in terms of that reservoir development issue, but we had plenty of oil indications in that formation. If the B1 does find success in the KB, then the plan for the B2 may change to focus on the KB as the producing well next. But we have enough flexibility in the program and planning in order to change that relatively short notice should that be required.
I see. And the Kadabi formation is detailed specifically as quite a highly important and high value target. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, so the KB volumes are, you know, almost double again of what we had in the Kirkham Abbey formation. And it is predominantly oil again. So it sort of lifts the West Newton field to a whole new level, despite the fact it's already such a significant discovery. And therefore, we're just retaining the flexibility of the forward program, depending on what happens in that KB formation. On the results of the B1 well.
Of course. And there seems to be this increased interest in Rathlin. What are kind of the short or even longer term implications of ramping up interest specifically here, which I understand the company has over the past year?
Yeah, so we completed a capital raise, and as part of that, it was increasing our exposure into Rathlin, who is the operator of the Pedal 183 in which West Newton resides. And the objective, the reason we did that was primarily on the basis that we realized this was an oil field rather than a gas field. The importance of that is that the capital investment required to get that into production is much lower for oil than it is for gas and is suited to Rehoboth's strategy. So by increasing our exposure, allowing the funding for these next two wells, the B1 and the B2, which is what that fundraise did, fully funded the program for two upcoming wells. We did that by increasing our exposure in Rathlin, and therefore we'll hope to be able to take this to the stage of significant cash flow generation with the funds that we've raised to date. And that was the thinking behind it in the medium term. But because this is such a strategic asset, while it's in that cash flow generation phase, we can then evaluate what is the optimal way to recognize value from West Newton for our shareholders. And that doesn't require further capital, which is the really exciting thing about this oil discovery.
That's great. And just separately, I wanted to quickly touch on last week's announcement, which concerned the start of drilling operations in California, West Brentwood. Could we touch on this a little bit and development here?
So to take another step back in California in general, we have drilled four wells there and we've had four successes and those wells are on production. We have taken California to the stage now where all incremental drilling activity has been funded out of cash flow generated within that business unit. And so this has now become a self-funded entity for growth. This well called the VG6 well that we're drilling on the West Brentwood license, which is the most prolific license that we have in California, is focused, again, with the objective of maximizing cash flow from that asset. The results, will be due very soon. And if we get that onto production as we would expect to, given the performance that we see from VG3 and VG4, if VG6 is successful, it will then uplift the cash flows yet further and in all likelihood provide greater cash than we could deploy within California for growth. And it is something that we'll have to evaluate as and when. But first, let's just wait for the results of the VG6. And then in time, we will appropriately design the strategy to manage that significant cash flow generation from California.
Of course. So two really exciting developments coming up then. What exactly can we expect from Rehoboth coming into 2020?
Yeah, so we've touched on the West Newton side of things, which essentially is this extended well test as West Newton B1 and West Newton B2. We've described how that is such a significant element of moving the asset forward and being a significant milestone for Rehoboth to reach within in terms of that asset. The other things probably worth pointing out outside California is in Romania, where we made a discovery there in the IM1 well. That was a gas discovery that exceeded our pre-drill expectations and has a best case estimate of 20 BCF of resource there. But because that was larger than we expected, the focus now is on how to create value on IM1, because as a standalone project, it has strong and robust economics in its own right. That would mean either for a project like this, building a short gas pipeline to tie into a nearby gas processing facility, or potentially creating a gas to power solution, because we have nearby electricity connection and the region we're in is hungry for electricity. So we have the extended well test in Romania that will then help inform what will be the development plan for that discovery. But we will also be planning the second well in Romania called IM2 for later in that year. In the meantime, what we're hoping is we'll be having California humming quite nicely, generating the cash flow, funding incremental wells, and as we said earlier, we'll be deciding how best to deploy the excess cash flow that exceeds even the growth that we see within California as that evolves over the course of next year. So it's a portfolio of extremely exciting opportunities, significant in scale, at the point of cash flow generation, and hopefully demonstrating an execution of the strategy that we stated at the outset of this discussion.
That's great. Now, just to close off, Sachin, could you give our audience three reasons to add Rehoboth Resources to their Vox Markets watch list?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think we've touched on all of them, but it is Rehoboth Resources is an opportunity that exposes investors to a significant amount of activity. The activity is material to our share price. We have shown the ability to be able to take pre-cash flow assets to the point of value recognition and will continue to do so from the assets within our portfolio. But we also continue to see opportunities beyond that that are complementary to positions we have and new options as well. And while we see those sets of opportunities, we think we can create substantial value for our shareholders. So those are the three key reasons we think that listeners should follow Rehoboth Resources and look forward to an exciting 2020 ahead of us.
That's great. Thank you so much for coming on, Sachin.
It's a pleasure.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Joining me today is Andrew Lawley, chairman of Two Shield Investments, ticker TSI. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast this morning. Now, investors listening may be unfamiliar with Two Shields. So to start off, perhaps you can give our audience some insight into the company, underscore some of the main prospects that may be of interest to those listening.
Yes, of course. Thank you very much. So to Two Shields Investments, or TSI, is a specialist investor with a particular focus on technology-enabled and high-growth potential businesses. And we really target businesses which have proven proprietary technology that is fully functional and is well positioned for global scaling. Looking at the group today, there are two parts to it. On one hand, there's a legacy portfolio of exploration assets that we're exiting from and selling those or partnering with others as opportunities arise. And there's been a series of updates throughout the course of the last year as the board has really got on with executing that strategy. And then the second half of the business is really the focus of the group going forward, which are two important tech assets, one called WeShop, which is a social commerce business, and a business called BrandShield, which is an online security business dealing with threats from phishing and brand exploitation.
That's great. Now, speaking of WeShop, you had news out earlier this morning. Can you take us through what happened exactly?
Yes, of course. Yeah, we put an RNS this morning reporting on an update from the company on a pre-IPO funding round of $2 million with a cornerstone investment from an investment fund called Equi. So just a little bit about the business. WeShop is an online social commerce platform. Social commerce is, I think, increasingly being seen as the next iteration of online shopping and essentially fuses the best parts of e-commerce and social media. I think in an online shopping world where perhaps the role of the traditional retailer in terms of curating a range of trusted products has been replaced by, you know, something of a vast and sometimes confusing sea of products, consumer-to-consumer reviews and recommendations are proving increasingly compelling and effective. So trusted recommendations from friends and selected influencers who are genuinely positive about the products they buy provides a much more authentic and hyper-personalized buying experience for consumers. And WeShop has been developed to deal and address with this. It's been developed entirely in-house over the last 4 years and now has the full functionality and user experience that a social commerce shopping platform will have to have. It's highly shoppable, has over 150 million products available for search. It offers complete transparency to users, so with pricing comparisons so they can see best value. Super easy to use to add a profile and to tag products. And it's been developed with real user insight and with a panel of well-known and established influencers. And I think finally, it's got a very, very clever reward structure using something called a WeCoin that rewards users for activity on the platform, which kind of further drives loyalty and ongoing user introduction as the business reaches scale. So the technology for a platform like this is really challenging to build. And it's great to see that the initial results from beta tests have been really positive. We think a platform like this represents a significant barrier to entry for other businesses thinking of entering social commerce. So then I think just turning to the pre-IPO funding, Equi is a new investment fund which has been set up to invest in best-of-breed tech assets. And importantly, it's led by a really high-quality team with considerable experience in the space, Doug Barrowman, very well-known and successful serial investor. And very importantly, Steve Wozniak, the co-founder, along with Steve Jobs, of Apple. That Equi has chosen to back WeShop is fantastically exciting, and we feel it endorses not only the importance and the opportunity in social commerce, but also the investment opportunity that WeShop itself represents, and perhaps the unique value in having built a fully functioning platform that's now ready to scale. So, as TSI, we really look forward to working with Equi alongside them as similarly supportive investors in WeShop as it enters a period of accelerated user acquisition. The company's positioned this round of finance as a pre-IPO round, and as such, we anticipate the company considering its own listing during 2020.
That sounds really exciting. Now, as I understand it, this year has been a pretty solid year of progress, specifically in terms of commercial deals. Could you touch on how this development has progressed over the last year?
Yeah, absolutely. We're working on both assets. So for WeShop, this year has really been a year of completing the technology and beta testing, getting the functionality fully ready to scale, and then raising the pre-IPO finance, which is achieved on all of those fronts. With our other key asset, BrandShield, again, it's been a really important year. We recently provided an update on BrandShield, and Yoav, the CEO, did a podcast through Vox. BrandShield is a digital service to global brand owners, which provides them with online security, anti-phishing and fraud, and brand protection services. The business has got some fantastic technology, all of which is developed in-house. And it's making great progress in positioning itself as the market leader in this space. I think importantly, it's been building significant contracted and recurring revenues from its subscription model. So it's very much like a SaaS software style revenue model with its clients, most of whom are some of the world's largest businesses and brand owners. So again, as reported recently, we are really positive on this business and its prospects. And we'd expect this business to also be considering its own listing in the first half of next year.
That's great. And it seems you're really kind of honing in on these two markets, like social commerce and then this counterfeiting technology, these markets that are only continuing to rise in attraction as we hit 2020.
That's right. Yeah, the markets are showing, really strong growth. Numerous people are really turning attention and interest to the sectors. And we've invested in two really well-positioned businesses who've developed fantastic proprietary technology, which we think can really now scale and take advantage of the market opportunity in front of them.
That's great. And what exactly can we expect from Two Shields as we come into the new year?
From Two Shields, it will be really the three points we've talked about. So one, continuing to respond to opportunities on finding liquidity events in the exploration portfolio, investing and continuing to support the growth in WeShop as it accelerates its user acquisition and during the course of next year considers its own listing. And then in the very near term, continuing to support BrandShield, particularly as it starts to go down the route of pursuing its its own listing in the early part of 2020.
That sounds great. Now, just some kind of last final thoughts for investors or shareholders listening. If you could give us three reasons that our audience can add to Shield Investments to their Vox Markets watch list, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. And sure, this is probably repeating perhaps some of the points that I've made before, but I think they're worth making. I think importantly, you know, we offer investors access to two really exciting global markets, cybersecurity protection and social commerce. We've selected what we believe to be two very, very well-positioned businesses with excellent technology, which can take advantage of those opportunities and then potentially achieve their own listings in the relatively near term, certainly within 2020, all of which is then underpinned with, we think, a good value proposition between the investments we've made into both businesses and obviously the value in the legacy exploration portfolio.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for coming on, Andrew.
A great pleasure.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And as always, for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets platform, at number five is Audio Boom Group, ticker BOOM. Dev Clever Holdings is at number four with ticker DEV. InStem with ticker INS is at number three. Number two is ULS Technology with ticker ULS. And number one is Bidstack Group, ticker BIDS. And now to follow for the top five most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets platform. At number five is Touchstone Exploration, ticker TXP, with an announcement on final production test results for the Coho 1 well. Infrastrata, ticker INFA, is at number four regarding the issuance of a marine license for the company's gas storage project. Echo Energy is at number three with ticker ECHO, with the mobilization of a drilling rig at the group's Campo La Mata 1 well. Number two is Powerhouse Energy Group, ticker PHE, detailing progress made towards the first commercial operation at Protos in the UK. And finally, at number one is Bidstack Group, ticker BIDS, with a milestone advertising trading agreement.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards, so you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.